Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports analyst Paul Emick.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Paul Emick, our green and gold analyst. Paul, how are you doing today?
What's going on, Bill? How are you?
We are good. It's tough to follow Ron Wolf and the stories that he told and the opinions that he has. Man, I don't know if you had a chance to hear any of that today.
Yeah. I am a podcast at night guy most of the time, so that's when I go back to my BillMichaelsSports.com pod, my 105.7FMTheFan.com pod. So I look forward to listening to that tonight, Bill. Sounds like you guys had, what, 30, 40, 50 minutes together?
45 minutes with him. So, yeah, it was...
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was great. It's all, and I could have gone 2 more hours and just shared stories, but it's always good.
Ron Wolf, I mean, with what he did for the Packers, I mean, as a, you know, as a guy in his mid-30s who grew up in Wisconsin, Ron Wolf is the GM of my childhood, of my lifetime, of the reason that, probably is a big reason that I care about football in the first place. So, I mean, it's as monumental as it comes in terms of guests, that's for sure.
The credit goes to Ron Wolf, who then gives the credit to Brett Favre and Reggie White.
Sure.
But I've always said none of this starts without a guy in Bob Harlan who said, you know what, business needs to get out of football, and I got to find a football guy that's going to be able to do this. To me, that was the start. That was really... The bringing it down to a very basic, very easy level, but making it all work was magnificent, and it all starts with Bob Harlan.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's why that success of how that worked is why people got Packers fans were obviously bothered by Mark Murphy's sort of change of the guard, and I'm one of those people, Bill, that says, hey, you know, just because 25 years ago that's what was needed doesn't mean it's needed today. I'm open-minded enough to think that. It was great that it happened the way it did then, and that maybe it was a necessary thing now. But it tells you how much success there was in Harlan handing things over to Wolf, who, of course, made the huge acquisitions of Favre and Reggie White, et cetera, is why Packers fans, at least of my generation and probably generation above mine, are so attached to the idea that football and business need to be separate entities. Mark Murphy, obviously, with a different idea, but whatever they're doing through 2 weeks so far of the Murphy, Gutekunst, LaFleur era has certainly worked so far. So I suppose early returns are okay.
Want to ask you, we were sitting here talking a little bit earlier, and probably you know, we're going to discuss this a lot coming up on Friday, but as we get set to witness the Packers take on the Denver Broncos, Denver loses a heartbreaker. They're now coming in at 2-0. To me, they've got one of two ways to go. They either start to tack their tail and call it a season because even though it's early, they realize they just don't have enough in the tank, or they come in completely revved up because they know they have to get one, not starting 0-3, which proves to be the most difficult of tasks for the Green Bay Packers. And it's not like you're bringing them into a cold climate or anything like that. You're bringing them into what should be a decent day. So, what do you feel the Packers are facing in Denver right now?
Well, Denver 0-2, yes, that's what the record says. I'm sure they feel like they're 1-1. That doesn't do them any good, but they feel like they're 1-1. Go back and look at that hit, and you can even barely call it a hit, that Chubb had on Mitch Trubisky that was called for a 15-yarder, and it sure felt a lot like Clay Matthews last year, I believe, week 2, Kirk Cousins, where you just like, what? That's a 15-yard penalty? And that did cost Denver the game. Now, Chicago extended that drive. They had, what was it, a 25, 30-yard completion down the field, sets up a 53-yard field goal that Pinheiro nails. I mean, there's still credit to be given there to Chicago and, of course, to Pinheiro, their kicker. But Denver has to feel a lot like what Green Bay felt like the day after those Clay Matthews, air quotes, roughing the passer, end air quotes, type of penalties, which was just like, come on, like what Chubb just did is not a penalty, or at least not egregious enough for a situational flag there. So 0-2, but not a bad 0-2 team, a defensive-led 0-2 team. Flacco, I mean, it is, you're going to get what you're going to get. You know, you're going to not, you're going to see a very Cousins Trubisky-esque guy, but one with a little bit more experience, with a Super Bowl ring to his name. But, again, if Denver's going to win this game, much like how I felt like if the Bears were going to win against Green Bay, much like how I felt if the Vikings were going to win against Green Bay last week, they're going to do it defensively. And, you know, when you have Fangio steering pieces like Von Miller and like Bradley Chubb, you have a heck of a defensive matchup on your hands. So, yeah, it's 0-3 facing desperation type time for Denver. But they're not there's some bad 0-2 teams in the league, Bill. Dolphins. There's some really bad 0-2 teams in the league. Denver's not that. So this is a good opponent that obviously I'm a good, not great, a fine good opponent that I don't, you know, should Denver be worse than 7-9 as a team this year? No. So they're going to collect their 7 wins somewhere. You just have to make sure it doesn't happen noon on Sunday in Lambeau Field.
Do you think the offensive line right now is the biggest Achilles heel?
For Green Bay?
Yeah. It's not being rated very high. I mean, and for those who do that for a living and rate every block and every maneuver and it's not being rated very high. Obviously, they've had some trouble with the guard position.
Right, and I have seen the rankings. I mean, you almost have to kind of take it like Brian Bulaga is playing great. Okay, so even if you want to go right to left, the problem is probably more so on the interior where Lane Taylor, I mean, did you hear what LaFleur said today about Elgton Jenkins, Bill?
No, I have not. Not yet.
Gushing with praise. So,
well, he praised both of those guys after the game, and both of those guys I saw at one point or another throughout the game were looking at the world on their back.
Yeah, and again, there was a time in week one where I saw Lane Taylor just get destroyed, and I was like, why is he still the starter? Now, I it's early in the season. Jenkins is a second-round rookie. So if you want to look at left guard specifically, you would say it's a matter of time before Jenkins is the full-time guy there. And that time might be Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes as early as week three, Jenkins' full-time job. Now, that's not to say that he's performed spectacularly, but I think with what I heard in LaFleur's comments today, he's getting closer and closer to maybe making that decision final. Lindsley, there was a poor snap. There's been some other miscommunications. Has not been, I think, what we saw Lindsley in 2017, 2016. The reason that you gave him the big extension that you did. And I think Billy Chinich to this point has been below average from what I would have expected. So the interior of the line does concern me, but not to the point where you start to look at it and you can say, when you have a running back like Aaron Jones, and if you want to look at the ground game specifically as it relates to offensive line, Aaron Jones is elusive to the point that you don't need the biggest cutback lane. Aaron Jones is that dynamic of a runner in the backfield. And that's not to excuse offensive line play, because think how much bigger his runs would be if he actually did have more room to operate. So for me, Bill, there's an offensive line concern to a point. And there's also concern, though, if you want to look at another option out there, who is going to be sort of – we're going to need to see more, I think, gradually of Valdez-Scantling and of Geronimo Allison and of Jimmy Graham – take some more pressure off of Davante Adams. I think they've each had their moments so far. Allison with some work in week two. MBS has done okay. Jimmy Graham had the touchdown in week one that has sort of been his moment so far as a Packers tight end of the 2019 offense. But I might in a very slight, a slight difference rate the rest of the pass catchers outside of Davante Adams as a slightly bigger concern. It doesn't mean I don't think that Allison and MVS and those guys are going to figure it out, but let's face it, Davante Adams, as good as he is, he needs to stop getting double and triple teamed, and the only way for that to happen is for the rest of the pass catchers to step up. So I would slightly rank that ahead of offensive line for me right now.
So before I let you go, and this is probably going to lead us into Friday, but as we sit here today and start getting ready for the game on Sunday to kind of analyze what it is we're looking for, what is it that you're starting to kind of hone in on?
Yeah, I, Bill, there's things with offense, and that's all great. I am just looking to see at what point does this Packers defense truly falter? If at all, does it happen? What type of quarterback are you going to have to face because it's not Trubisky, it's not Cousins, it's not going to be Flacco, I don't think, that is going to be able to be the guy that puts this defense on its heels. How many quarterbacks that they're going to face this year have the talent to take what I have seen from the Packers defense through two games and make them look questionable? You know, make them look like a defense that shouldn't be being talked about as a top 10 defense. Do you think Jaire Alexander is going to get worse with experience? No. He's going to keep getting better. Do you think Kevin King, the longer he stays healthy and the further he becomes removed from hamstring injuries and everything else and shoulders, that he's going to get worse? No. It's, when you have a secondary particularly, but also a defensive group as a whole, Kenny Clark, 23 years old, Blake Martinez, I believe, 25, two 26-year-old edge rushers in Preston and Za'Darius Smith. This is not like an old defense where you think, well, you know, Matthews gets banged up and Perry, he's always banged up. And, you know, going back a few years, yeah, well, Julius Peppers is durable, but he's 36. And, well, Quentin Dix, at what point is he going to face a situation where he's just not going to tackle? Or there's a point, I think, on the team this year defensively, Bill, where I'm wondering how good of an offense they're going to have to face before they don't look, dare I say, dominant. So I don't see that happening Sunday, but I am, you know, as much as throughout the years, it's easier to get geared up to watch an offensive-minded football team in Green Bay led by Aaron Rodgers. I want to see this defense just continue to maul and see if they can do that, because I don't think that Flacco and a Denver offense is going to be the group that puts up 20 or more. And I'm wondering what team that's going to be. Because, Bill, I mean, man, how many times do you really think a team is going to score 20 or more on the Packers this year from what you've seen so far? My number is like 3. So that's kind of where my head's at right now defensively for the Packers.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again on Friday, okay?
All right, Bill. Thanks.
Appreciate
so much,
it, pal. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes. And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE. Or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, I've been telling you for a while now about the Biofuels Association. And you know there's some unrest that's back in the headlines regarding the Middle East and oil production there. I just want to emphasize to you that if the unleaded 88, you've been using unleaded 88 or 85, you are doing your part to vote with your wallet. I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me uneasy that we might get pulled into something again in the Middle East. Again, not political, just the facts. And I don't like it when we get pulled into stuff like that. When you're talking about, you know, the energy concerns. I'm concerned that's going to cost us more as taxpayers, right? Again, not political, just the facts. There's a lot of things that go up, and gas is one of them, when we get into a little bit of unrest. So you can vote with your wallet. Let the markets know that you choose the highest blend of ethanol that's approved for your vehicle. In most vehicles, that's E15 or unleaded 88. In flex fuel vehicles, that's E85, where 85% of the fuel you're burning was produced right here in the state of Wisconsin, not in the Middle East. The corn was grown right here in the Corn Growers Association. The fuel was refined here as well. So vote with your wallet, and to get all the facts, go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org, and see for yourself.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.